Heavenly Father and our God, we thank you so much for who you are, for all that you have done and all that you're doing even now. We thank you for everyone that you brought out today and everyone that's joining us on the radio, on YouTube, on Facebook, on every platform. We thank you for everyone joining us right now to hear this word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us all. And everyone listening would be forever changed for the better, having a better understanding of your word and ultimately a closer walk with you. That's our prayer. We want everyone to be so close to you that air can get between and everyone can make it to your kingdom. So bless us now as we study your word. In Jesus' mighty name we ask and pray. And all of God's people say, amen and amen. Our topic for today is one that, you know, I went back and forth with the Spirit of God and it was telling me how to do certain things. And he said, Trevor, the way you're planning on doing is totally not how I want to do it today. This is what I want you to do. So pay attention. First of all, the topic is, we will not go under. Christians are overcomers. We will not go under. Christians are overcomers. Now, depression is attacking many believers. Loss of jobs, loss of loved ones, health issues, you name it. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Bury our heads in the sand? No, we do not bury our heads in the sand. Absolutely not. It's time to fight the negative fire with the Holy Ghost fire. It's time to fight back. So it all comes down to this. And I want you to listen to me very carefully. It all comes down to this. Are you truly a Christian? You see, over the years, many people play the Christian role. Yeah, they figure, yeah, I go to church. I read the Bible. I pray. Well, whoop-de-doo, what, you want a cookie? We go to church to be educated, to be equipped, just like going to the gas station to fill up your car. So if you think that, okay, I just sat in church and listened to a crazy pastor for an hour or two, that's it, no. When you are a Christian, things change. But you can't truly be a Christian until you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Let's go to John chapter 16. We're going to break some things down today. John chapter 16. And we're going to start in verse 31. And the reason why we're starting a little ahead and then going back, God is doing it for a reason, because he wants us to know why we should be a Christian. Because we're going to go through some things in this life. And I'm not going to lie to anyone and tell you that when you were a Christian, you just floating on cloud nine. No stress, no mess. That's a lie. Some people will just talk about the good stuff. Oh, yeah, God is going to bless today. Oh, yeah, that's ready. But there are some people that their lives are a mess today. And they need to know why. And they need to know how to overcome that mess. So, the first promise that Jesus gave us, and I'm not being negative, I'm just being a realist. Verse 31 of John chapter 16. Jesus asks, do you finally believe? But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. So even though he's telling us what's going to happen, he's giving us encouragement to let us know that since he overcame the world, if we are in him and he is in us, what that makes us an overcomer. Glory to God. So Write down your key point, and then we're going to look at what needs to happen for us to actually be in him. Key point number one, write this down. His promises are true. Sorrow will come to me and you, but don't panic. Jesus will see us through. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love it. His promises are true. Sorrows will come to me and to you, but don't panic. Jesus will see us through. And we have confident assurance that he will see us through. We don't have to worry about it. We know he will do what he promises to do. He cannot lie. He's not like man. Whatever he says, he will do. Jesus told us to take heart because he overcame the world. Now, Jesus overcame the world, so how does that benefit us? I tell you, we need to have the same Holy Spirit that he has so that we can overcome the world as well. The same Holy Spirit. You know, we have to go into the Holy Spirit a little bit more today. I could show you a whole bunch of verses about overcome, over this, overcome that. And it will be motivated and excited. But I don't want you to leave or stop watching or listening today with just feeling fluffy. I want you to get the tools you need to get the right foundation laid and build a structure that will last. Not just something that as soon as the wind blows, there you go. You know those Christians that, you know, they come to church and they're like, oh yeah, praise the Lord. And as soon as the wind blows, a little trial, a little calamity, zoop, there they go. And I see some of them from time to time and they're like, oh yeah, I tried the Christian thing, but it didn't work for me. I'm like, what do you mean you tried the Christian thing? Like it's some bad underwear or something. I'm just real. You try a piece of underwear on, a piece of underwear. But if it's too tight, I'm taking it off. I don't want my underwear to be uncomfortable. Need to be nice and snug so I can walk and be cool with it. All right. Too many people are too saved in here. Okay. All right, let's go to John chapter 14. Let's go to John chapter 14. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit because I don't want you all thinking about briefs and underwear. All right. John 14 verse 15. If you love me, Jesus says, obey my commandments. Oh, we're going somewhere now. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Now, if you don't know, an advocate is someone that's working with you and for you. The adversary works against you. So the Holy Spirit will work with us and for us. He says, if we love him, we do what? Obey his commands. So the first prerequisite, we want to obey what he says. He says to love your neighbor, so stop saying you hate them. He said to bless them, so stop cursing them. And sometimes we curse them in our mind. If we ever get a glimpse of the things in your friend's mind, in your mind, do they have a special soap to wash out the mind? Oh, that will sell like hot bread. Mind soap. But the good news is the washing of the mind is for free. The Holy Spirit, when he comes in, he purifies the heart, he purifies the mind. He gives us the strength, the ability to take every thought captive. So now when the devil is telling us, think hateful thoughts about this individual, the Holy Spirit in us say, think good thoughts. Bless them. Yes, they lied to you, they cursed you, they did you wrong. Don't worry about that. Bless them. Why should you bless? Because every time you pronounce a blessing, you declare a blessing for yourself. Listen to this wisdom, my friend. But every time you curse someone, you declare a curse on your own life. Oh, somebody's like, I need to slow down with my cursing. Yes, you do. Can't just say whatever comes to your mind. Think about things before you say it, before you do it. or else it can bring you harm. Let's say, for instance, you have an employer and you go to work and the boss say, hey, you know you're late. You wouldn't say to the employer, why are you telling me I'm late? I come whenever I want to come. You see, you just wouldn't say that. You may think it, but you just wouldn't say that. If you did, you'd be filling out an application somewhere else. So think about things before you say it. Just remember, we have a heavenly boss. So when you're about to say something bad to your wife, something bad to your husband, something bad to your children, something bad to your neighbor, something bad to your coworker, when you're about to blast somebody, when you're about to let them have it, remember, the Holy Spirit don't work that way. Ask yourself a question. Am I really operating under the Holy Spirit lead, or am I doing my own thing? Somebody's thinking, man, I didn't know it was going to be that deep. All right, let's continue. We're just getting started. Verse 17. He is the Holy Spirit. This is the advocate he's talking about. The Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So that's why we let people know that the Holy Spirit is Jesus. He's living with the apostles now. And then later on, when he leaves and go back to heaven, then he's going to send the same spirit that's in him back to us down here. And the world can't receive him. The world think we're crazy. They're like, these crazy Christians, they get up on a Sunday morning, take a shower, get dressed, go to church, listen to someone talk, and there's a game on, and Denny's is open. And there's so many different things he could be doing. He could be sleeping in late. What's wrong with them? They don't understand that we love God and we're trying to keep his commandments. Yes, and one of his commands said, don't neglect the assembling of the saints. Yes, these are instructions he tells us. We're supposed to gather and worship. Why? Because there's a corporate anointing when we get together and the demons can't handle the power when we are together. And that's why the devil won't be in full swing knocking people out until the rapture happens and we're out of here. Then he can come into full power and be cutting people's head off that refuses to take his mark. But glory be to God, we who are truly saved won't be here for that foolishness. We'll be watching from heaven on the big screen. Won't be here for that. But glory be to God. Listen, the truth. Let's talk a little bit about truth. All right? Truth. Revelation 21 and 8 says that no liar can get into the kingdom of heaven. So, if you are a practicing liar, that's something that you need to be delivered from. I don't care how long you think you're saved. If you find yourself telling lie, especially it gets to a point where it don't bother you no more. You just like, tell a lie. Oh, but it's just a little white lie. I don't care if it's a Jamaican lie. Don't lie. Or a Puerto Rican lie, right? Lie is lie. All right? And I can't beat it in your head hard enough. If no liars go into heaven and someone keeps lying, do you really think you're a Christian? Nope. I don't care if you're baptized 25 times. Like I said before, and I'll keep saying it until God tell me don't say it no more. You can go down a dry demon and come up a wet demon. Oh, but I'm baptized, I'm saved. You're not saved until you behave, until your actions show you and the people in your crew that you're a Christian. Again, the question is, are you really a Christian? But let's look at this truth thing. Go with me to, let's go to John chapter 8. Because the Pharisees didn't understand what Jesus was saying when he said he came to bear witness. John chapter 8, and I'm going to read starting verse 31. Jesus said to the people who believe in him, you are my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know what? The truth. And the truth will set you free. So Jesus is saying, if you obey his teaching and remain faithful to his teaching, then you will know him. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son, you have to tell him plainly. So if the son, S-O-N, sets you free, you are truly free. They just can't get it. You know what? There's another guy that just couldn't get it. Let me show you this guy. John 18:33. It's a guy that I have some respect for. A guy named Pontius Pilate. He's the first Pilate in the world. I went over someone's head. He never flew a plane, but he's the first pilot. All right. John 18. Let's start in verse 33. Watch this now. Then Pilate, and they don't spell the same, but you know, that's how it's pronounced, Pilate. Then Pilate went back into his headquarters and called for Jesus to be brought to him. Are you the king of the Jews? He asked him. Jesus replied, is this your own question, or did others tell you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate retorted. Your own people and their leading priests brought you to me for trial. Why? What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate said, oh, so you are a king. Jesus responded, and I said, I love this one, Jesus says, you say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love truth recognize that what I say is true. Hallelujah, Jesus. What is truth? Pilate asked. Then he went out again to the people and told them he's not guilty of any crime. But because Pilate did not know who Jesus is, personally, he didn't know who truth is. Because he's asking, what is truth? When he should have asked, so who is truth? Look at John 14 again, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus told them, I am the way. The what?
The way.
The truth. And the life. And then he says, no one can come to the Father except through me. So, let's put it all together. When we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we have Jesus. We have the truth. So, let's flip the script. If someone is walking around lying every day, they have the ugly guy, the devil, living in them. I'm just keeping it real. Because I don't want you to get to Jesus on the day of judgment, and he says to you, depart from me, I never knew you. And you're going to be like, but I went to church. But I did this. But I did that. He may just look at you and say, are you done? Let me play the video for you. I don't want that for you. I'd rather give you what you need to be equipped so you can fight the devil in your mind when he attacks you, because the biggest battlefield is in the mind. Satan attacks us the most in our mind, because if he feels he can get our minds off track, then we will stray. But if we put on the whole armor of God, like Ephesians 6 and 11 says, then we can withstand the fiery darts that he shoots at the mind. The mind is a crazy place. The mind will have you thinking someone hates you. The mind will have you thinking you're not good looking. When you know if you got Christ, you're a beautiful creature.
Yes, sir.
The mind will have you thinking, man, nobody likes me. Where you get that from? Call me up. I'll talk with you. And if I got some food, I'll share.
Amen.
And I always got some food, actually. To God be the glory. He takes care of his people because he know we love to eat. You know, somebody's going to get hungry. Let me stray from that. All right. But here's the thing. I'm just letting you know, don't let the enemy have your mind tell you crazy things. Rebuke that. And know that you're a child of the Most High God. You're a Christian. Listen to the Holy Spirit in you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Write down your key point number two. If you are willing, because he does not force, if you are willing, the Holy Spirit will help you overcome sin. But you must truly let Jesus in. If you are willing, the Holy Spirit will help you overcome sin. He will. But you must truly let Jesus in. You got to let him in. Most people, they will hang out with Jesus. Like you go to church, you're hanging out with Jesus. You're talking to someone about Christ on the phone, you're hanging out with Jesus. You were the co-worker talking about how good God is, you're hanging out with Jesus. But you won't truly let him into your heart because you figure, oh, my heart's too messed up. He can clean it up. He's the only one that can clean it up. I can't clean up your heart. The cardiologist can't clean up your heart. The cardiologist will say, man, this is a good-looking heart, pumping blood, doing everything, but he does not know what's happening in your heart spiritually. But Jesus sees the heart. And he can clean it up. But you have to truly let him in and say, I surrender all to you, Lord. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing. People sing the song all the time. You know, it is so funny when I hear people sing some songs, and I'm like, I wonder if they mean what they're singing. Like that song, one of the biggest songs that people lie in church about all the time. I surrender all. And I'm like, be careful. Do you really surrender all? I did a remix to that, by the way. I surrender some. It's desirable to surrender all, but stop lying. If you know you're holding on to your sin that nobody can take from you because you're not ready to give it up, stop saying you surrender all. Like some people, like one guy told me straight, he's not going to stop watching pornography. I was just telling him about God and, you know, certain sacrifices. And he said, Trevor, I don't care what you say. I am not giving up my pornography. He told me straight. I was like, whoa. So it's that much of a stronghold on you that you're going to risk going to hell over because you can't control your lust. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So if you're just a loose cannon and you can't control yourself, that's a problem. I hate to break it. No, I don't hate to break it to you. I got to break it to you because I love you. And if someone loves you, they tell you the truth. And the Holy Spirit in me is not going to let me lie to you and tell you what some pastors tell their congregation. That, oh, God understands. You're never going to be as good as Jesus. You and that pastor are going to be burning in hell. Because it's misleading people. And there's a lot of false prophets out there. You just got to study the word for yourself. And if someone is teaching something that does not line up with what Jesus is saying, that's a false prophet. Don't listen to them. And it breaks my heart to even say it because I've lost a couple from this congregation. And when I saw them, he told me, oh, you know, pastor, we're taking the thing too serious, you know. And the church I go in now, the pastor even used the curse word from the pulpit. And he said, oh, forgive me, you know I'm not as good as Jesus. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And you think that's the word. What my Bible tells me is this. By their fruits, you will know them. So if they're up there cursing, they're cursed. I don't have to go any further. But some people, they just love to water things down. You just love to downplay it. Oh, let me just slide my way into heaven. It don't work that way. You're either hot for God or you are not for God. If you're lukewarm, he's going to spit you out of his mouth. Read the word. Can't be wishy-washy. One foot straddling the fence. And you're like, I'm in church today, but tomorrow I'm in the world. And you're trying to run like this. Not good. You won't get very far. And if you're a male, you may hurt something. Don't do it, man. Pick a side and run with confidence. Glory be to God. All right. Let's get back to John chapter 14. So stop faking this Christian thing. Be a Christian. John 14, let's go back to verse 18. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So when the Holy Spirit is in us and we're obeying his commands, we're proving to God and Jesus Christ that we love him. Amen. It's an action thing. It's not a lip service thing. Now let's read on some more. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. That's a good place to say amen. You see, the Holy Spirit will remind us of everything. And I'm going to show you where a lot of people misunderstand Scripture, get it confused, and don't even want to go to church because they misunderstand what the Spirit of God is saying. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. I got to go there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. 1 John, all the way in the back. 1 John chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. I'm going to read this because it has confused so many people. I hear people say it to me, and I'm like, you're misinterpreting the Scripture. Here's the thing. It says, I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, those who are saved and really have the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Now, people read that and they're like, oh, so since I'm saved now, I got the Holy Spirit in me. No one need to teach me nothing. I'm good to go. That's misinterpreting Scripture. What he's actually saying is, be careful of the false prophets, the antichrists who are in church. Yes, you got antichrists in churches. You got antichrists in your circle. We got antichrist friends, antichrist family members. We got antichrists running all over the place. So don't let that get you tricked. Look at what it says in verse 18. Let me just show you this. Verse 18, the same chapter, because he just finished talking about this antichrist thing. That's why he said that. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the antichrist is coming, and already many such antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches, but they never really belonged to us, with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. All right, he goes on to say, he said this, but you are not like that, for the Holy One has given you his Spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I'm writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between truth and lies. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Oh, we know some of them. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy eternal life. We enjoy the eternal life promised to us. My friends, John is saying, don't get sidetracked. Don't let your friends tell you any foolishness that will keep you away from Christ. We have antichrist friends and family members and co-workers and people that are influencing us. Satan plans to use our friends and our influencers to gradually lead us away from Christ Jesus. And it may not be something drastic at once. It's not like he's going to put someone and say, okay, let's get some guns and go kill somebody. That's drastic. But you will have someone tell you, let's go and get drunk and kill ourselves. Or do drugs. There's nothing worse than a so-called Christian in the middle of their compromise and they're dragging another Christian to compromise with them. One of the worst I heard was the guy will call me on the radio one day and say, is it okay for a bunch of my Christian friends to go to a strip club once a month? I said, you mean outside the strip club? No, to go in there. I said, what are you going in there to do? You're not going to be witnessing. You're going to say, oh, Jesus, but not in the right way. Don't let people convince you that wrong is okay. You got to stand your ground. That's why John is saying, look, don't let them lead you astray. You know the truth. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Now, if you don't have him living in you, then anything goes, my friend. Free for all. You can be in your conversation with your friends and everybody's cursing and it don't bother you one bit. You won't open your mouth and say, hey, the cursing bothered me, man. I can't deal with that. You'll just say, okay, it's cool. And they just keep cussing and you're like, uh-huh, yeah, I hear you. But when you tell them, you know, the cursing bothered me, you put yourself on a pedestal. Yes. Now they're going to look up to you and say, oh, so you're one of them Christians. And now they're going to look to see if there's something they can catch you with. Which is cool. You want them to do that. Because if every time they're trying to catch you and they can't find nothing to blame you with, sooner rather than later, they're going to say, tell me a little bit about your Jesus. It works. Amen. But if we're compromising and not allowing the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives, and we're just going with the flow with everything, we're not going to witness to them. They're going to be like, you were smoking the weed with me. How are you going to tell me about Jesus? You were talking bad and blasting that person with me. How are you going to tell me about Jesus? You're gossiping too. You're lying too. You show up late in job too and tell me, shh, don't tell nobody. So you're a thief too. What are you going to tell me about Jesus? People are watching. Are we showing them Jesus or not? If we're truly a Christian though, if the Holy Spirit is living in and through us, we should be showing them Jesus every day. Amen. Now they may not want to see him. They'll be like, oh man, let me stop cussing because Trevor is going to tell me to stop my cussing. So let me stop ahead of time. And, you know, I, You know they have a saying, and I give you this last one. It's funny. They say, don't swear as a sailor, or you swear as a sailor. You heard that saying before. Because sailors do swear a lot, okay? They're out there in the boat rocking, and they're saying a whole bunch of choice words. So me and some of my Navy buddies had a lunch done in Pembroke Pines. And, you know, they were there before me, and I got there a few minutes late, you know, and there's one guy there that was a Christian, but he didn't boldly proclaim to them that he's a Christian. So when I got there, everybody, you know, was there. Hey, Trevor, what's up? And we started talking. And then afterwards, he pulled me aside and said, man, Trevor, there was some cussing going on before you got here. And when you showed up, all the cursing stopped. No, you talk about who have some power. We who have the Holy Spirit in us have some real power. Amen. Oh, you better believe it. Let me hear somebody say, Superman ain't got nothing on me. Because I got Jesus. You better believe it. Amen. We got true power. People change their tone when we come around. Don't take it lightly. But we got to make it a stand. We got to stand for righteousness. Because if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. All right. Moving along. Because time is running. I got to give you your key point number 3. Write this down. Right now, everyone should understand that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot overcome Satan's plan. Right now, everyone should understand that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot overcome Satan's plan. Now, you know if you attend Jesus Team Ministries what Satan's plan is. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his plan for our lives. You want to kill us. You want to destroy our dreams, right? You want to steal our joy and our peace and everything. He just want to mess us up. That's his plan for us. But, again, your key point, right now everyone should understand that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot overcome Satan's plan. Romans 8, verse 1, is an area that we got to look at real quick. Starting verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1 and 2. So you know what to do. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Another verse that messed people up. Because they're like, oh, I'm saved. I got baptized. No, he got bap-lied. You're lying to yourself, thinking that you're saved, thinking that the Holy Spirit is controlling you when you are controlling yourself, and the devil is controlling you. See, when the Holy Spirit controls us and leads us, that means God is controlling and leading us. But when you're doing it yourself, the devil is. So, in Christ Jesus, yes, read on some more. Verse 2, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Excuse me. Leads to death. Now, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Hallelujah, Jesus. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. Oh no, don't go there. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if, let me hear somebody say if. If you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. It is so important. If you're talking about being an overcomer, if you're talking about making sure that you get to another level, if you're talking about defeating the enemy and sin, yes, you can, but you need the Holy Spirit living in you. Just like I need Him living in me. When the devil tempt me to sin, I got to rebuke him. Why? With the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how I do it. And that's how you should do it. You don't fight fire with smile. Oh, look at that fire. Nice and red and orange. No, it's going to burn you. Let the Holy Spirit fire burn that out. Somebody come in one day to tell me, oh, Pastor, he's so cute though. I say, but he's a brute though. He's telling you to do things that you know ain't right. Young man out there, oh man, Pastor, she got a Coca-Cola bottle shape. Stop drinking so much soda. Right? Drink juice. The temptations are going to come. The temptations are going to come. But you got to let the Holy Spirit living in you lead you. Come on now. It's time to be mature. If you say you're saved and 1 year you're still doing the same thing, there's no growth. No growth. Some people have been saved 5 years, still cussing. Oh, you know, I'm not perfect. I know, but you ain't even trying. Stop using that as an excuse. Amen. Still lying. Oh, but it's just a little tiny lie. How about a little tiny bullet? You still want it? Come on, guys. We got to mature. We got to grow. You're still drinking milk. Imagine going to the finest restaurant in Fort Lauderdale. Oh, let me get a glass of milk. 2%. Who does that? You know, order yourself some chicken or some steak or some scrimp or something. You know, get yourself some fine dining. Well, eat the solid word in the Bible. Stop drinking milk only. Come on. We give you a schedule to read the Bible every day. Read. Some people are, oh, but I'm too tired to read the Bible. But you got time to watch soap opera? Are you kidding me? You got time to chat on the Tell Life phone and watch Tell Life Vision? And you can't find 10 minutes to read the Bible? That is embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing. In Jesus' team ministries, everybody should be reading the Bible every day unless you don't plan and going to heaven with us. I just keep it real. And it shouldn't be burdensome. You should be excited to say, hey, let me see what Jesus has to say. I love you, Lord. When was the last time you told him you love him? I tell him every day I love him. Because I do. He loves me. He woke me up. When I wake up and I say, man, I'm alive another day. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Go and ask the people by the cemetery. You won't get a response. But some of them did not accomplish their God-given potential because they didn't love God. They just did their own thing. Now, some people, they did it, and God took them home and said, that was time, no problem. But some people, no, they did their own thing. They followed away the devil, and they end up, boom, out of here. Embarrassing. Let's not be like that. Your key point number four, write this down. Hallelujah, Jesus. For us, it's kind of long. I'm going to say it three times. For us who have the Holy Spirit, We are saved and overcome sin and death. Okay? If we have the Holy Spirit, we're saved and overcome sin and death. For those still waiting in the valley of decision, it's time to repent or accept what you get. For us who have the Holy Spirit, we are saved and overcome sin and death. For those still waiting in the valley of decision, it's time to repent or accept what you get. Because if you don't repent and you want to stay in your sinful state, if you die in your sin, you're going to hell. Don't go to hell. Hell is for ugly people. For us who have the Holy Spirit, we are saved and overcome sin and death. For those still waiting in the valley of decision, it's time to repent or accept what you get. Oh, glory be to God. What can an overcomer look forward to? My friends, real quick. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Hallelujah, Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit. Start in verse 5. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. That's Satan. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. And what is he going to tell us to do? Here's what I want you to see. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 6. It says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to set Israel free and restore a kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will first of all receive power. Let me hear somebody say power.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So it's going to give us power to tell people about him. Telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to Fort Lauderdale, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, Fort Lauderdale is not there, but it's a part of the ends of the earth. Fort Lauderdale is, okay? So, we get the power from the Holy Spirit to share and tell people about our Jesus. That's one of the things he gives us power for. So, verse, key point number 5, your final key point, write it down. Key point number 5. So, if you are a Christian, it's time to get your head out the sand and tell everyone that the coming of Jesus is at hand. Get your head out the sand. So if you're a Christian, it's time to get your head out the sand and tell everyone that the coming of Jesus is at hand. I don't mind telling people, you know, Jesus coming soon. Are you ready to meet him? Some people are like, oh, yeah, I'm ready. Some people are like, yeah, I'm thinking about it. You better hurry up. He ain't going to wait on you when he comes. You can't say, give me a minute, Lord. I got one more repentance to make. No. You're either ready or you're not ready. If you're getting ready, you're not ready. So please, get ready and tell people. All right? Final place to turn to real quick. Galatians 5. Gotta wrap this up. Galatians 5. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know it's a lot of information, but it's a Bible teaching church. And I got to tell you what God told me to tell you, or else I'll be out of whack. I follow instructions. That way, when I'm done, he can say, Trevor, well done. You told him what I gave you to tell him. And my conscience is clear. You do whatever you want to do with information, but I believe, and I believe, and I pray, and I hope that you don't just hear, but you listen. Big difference. Because you can hear in one ear, and it goes out the other ear. But when you listen, you actually put it into practice. Amen? Galatians chapter 5. If you can't find Galatians 5, it's right after Galatians 4. What? I help somebody. All right. Verse 19 is where we start. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Let me hear somebody say, oh, is it clear? All right. Yes, it's clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. Here's one that gets a lot of Christian. Quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger. Oh, you such and such and such. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. And he says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not Pastor Trevor's word. It's the word of God. But I have to share it with you so you'll be reminded from time to time that we have to make choices in life to make us able to get to heaven. Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Are you ready? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here's the toughie, self-control. Ooh. So when you have the Holy Spirit in you and somebody get on your nerves and you start doing your head like this because you're going to tell them something, you're like, God bless you. You know, or instead of telling them to go to hell, you're like, you know what? Go to heaven. Oh, goodness. You got to control yourself. I know people get on your nerves. Don't you think they get on my nerves too? I got someone I love dearly get on my nerves yesterday. And my wife was like, you have to deal with that. I said, it takes a lot of patience. It is what it is. You got to take a deep breath. Sometimes count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And then you're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Because people get on our nerves. But because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers. We are not going to fall into sin. We're going to stand and praise the King. You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Or else you're just a demon in Satan. Two things in life. There's no neutral zone. You can't tell me, well, Pastor, I'm still on the borderline. They're going to deport you to hell. That sounds like a topic. Don't get deported to hell. I love it. Maybe God let me teach you one day. That's a good one. All right. So, my friends, let's finish up Galatians 5. We've got to go. All right. Verse 24. No. 20. The end of 23. Gentleness and self-control. And it says, there is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in, watch this, every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Oh, glory be to God. My friends, I feel so blessed because God gave us what we need to be overcomers. He gave us the tools. He showed us how to lay the foundation to accept Jesus, to love him, to obey his commands. And then we can walk with power. We can talk with power. We can live with power and make it to heaven. That's what we need. Don't be a no, 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 I'm not trying, or I don't want to say nobody's perfect. No one is perfect. I understand that. But don't be those people that just don't try, figure, oh, I can't do it. No!
Don't say that.
You can do all things through Christ Jesus who will give you strength. But you won't get the strength until you have the Holy Spirit living in you. When he's living in us, oh, we're strong. We can resist the evil one. And he will flee. He will come back. And when you come back, what we do? Resist him again. Glory be to God. So my friends, remember, we are overcomers because we are Christians with Christ, the Holy Spirit, living within. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your word that reminds us of who we are in Christ Jesus. We're not going to fall. No, we're going to overcome whatever situation that comes our way because we have you living in us. And for that, we're grateful. For that, we're thankful for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. So we ask right now that you touch every heart, everyone living, everyone in the sanctuary, everyone in on the YouTube, on the radio, on the internet, on the television, you know, the podcast, wherever they're joining us from. Lord, I ask that you tug on their hearts right now. And if they need to repent of their sins, just give them a supernatural racing heartbeat as an indication that you're calling them to repentance. If that's you, my friend, I'm going to give you an opportunity to repeat a prayer. But God is going to be listening to your heart, just like he listens to my heart. And if your heart is really willing to let him in, he's going to come in. He's going to pour his Holy Spirit in you and give you an opportunity to make it to heaven. Everyone, repeat after me. If you really want Jesus to purify you, say, Lord God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But today, Lord, I repent of all my sins. And I turn to you. Wash me clean and make me new. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. And for being raised on the third day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and stay with me. From this day forward, I am yours. And I thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. You said that prayer and you meant it. Guess what? Jesus wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and he poured his spirit in you. It's time to listen. He's going to tell you to do things a little different so you can truly be an overcomer. Amen. At this time, I want my leaders to run to the front. Deacon Dennis, please help them. We're a little bit late. I was trying to finish and be out of here by 1 o'clock.